Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com. Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio. Hey. It's the Fade Route with DNZ. I am D, and we've got a great show for you today.
Yes, we do.
Daniel Jones fractures his fibula. Myles Garrett is approaching the sack record. And there's been some interesting signings in baseball. But we begin today's show with the Chiefs and the Cowboys, who played on Thanksgiving in a must-win game for both, right? Cowboys emerged victorious behind some controversial calls by the refs. Despite the loss, KC is still alive. Despite the win, the Cowboys have still a long way to go. So, Z, which team do you believe in more going forward?
Well, it's one of those weird things because you're looking at the stat line, right? Mahomes seems to have a decent enough day. Throws for four tutties. They're moving the ball. But that game never felt in doubt. Never ever did the game feel like it was in doubt. Like, never did it feel like the Chiefs were like a serious contender in that game. Like, the Cowboys had all the momentum. It felt as if the Cowboys were the team with the expectations. Not the Chiefs. Not the team that was the defending AFC champion. The Chiefs, they look slow. They look outmatched. The penalties, the sacks, the line problems persist. And that's going to bite them in the ass. We've been saying it for years, the line is the weak spot, right? Mahomes is running for his life. That's why Mahomes has to make all these great plays. It's because his line can't protect him. So he's got to scramble. He's got to do all these things that make him look superhuman. Kind of like Lamar. Lamar has to like run all over and make these backyard plays.
Well, hold on. Yes, because he's athletic.
Yes, he's because he can't stand the pocket because they're gonna kill him.
I don't know if his line is as weak as some other lines in the league. I think last year they just had a left tackle issue. Right, this year, their guard was out for this game, which was not helpful. Who going against Quinnen Williams and the guy from that Dallas got from Green Bay. I think the issue with the Chiefs is more on Patrick Mahomes is that he doesn't trust all his receivers as he's trust receivers in the past and trusted his skilled players. You know, a lot of times he's prolonging the play because he's not hitting his back foot and letting it rip. It doesn't look quite right. He's not so confident the guy's going to catch it. He doesn't maybe like the look, you know. And we saw a lot of drops in that game.
Kelce dropped the ball.
Rice dropped the ball.
I'm going to call a little bit of BS on that, too, because we were talking about, like, oh, once he gets his weapons back, when he gets his weapons, this motherfucker, like, how many more weapons does he need?
Yeah, like, no, no, no.
You have Hollywood Brown. You have Kelce. Right. Pacheco's back. You have Hunt. Dude. Like,
no,
come on.
And what I'm trying to say is like, I think it's more on Patrick because he's not trusting those guys. We saw Hollywood Brown making an amazing catch.
That was amazing. That was a great catch.
Because he's a very talented receiver, and he can be trusted, and they need to put more – he needs to put more trust in his throws, in his execution of plays, and stop with the backyard bullshit. Kelce – made a nice catch, but he also missed one. Rashee Rice was their guy yesterday, and although he had a, I mean, on Thanksgiving, and although he had a really good day, he he left some points out there, man. He dropped two or three balls that he should have caught. I like the kid Thompson. I think he's a very good player. I like Juju. I think he's a good possession receiver. So
they've
I'm not
never
gonna...
been able to get Juju into the mix here. Like the, since
not,
he's been there.
Yeah,
been...
I'm not gonna put this on their line because compared to some other lines, his line is pretty damn good. I mean, I'm pretty sure Thuney is still there. I think Thuney is one of the best players in the league. If I'm not mistaken, Joe Thuney is still there.
Then Juwan Taylor is there. Caliendo had a key hold. They're not. The problem with them is that they can't handle speed. And I think the Eagles really exploited that. Like, they're good on technique, but you're going to blow by them, and it's going to be a hold every time.
Oh, no, he's with the Bears.
Joe Tooney's with the Bears now. He's protecting Caleb Williams. And we'll get to them in a second because, you know, we're going to talk about the Cowboys. The Cowboys are peaking at the right time. And I know you're not the biggest fan of Shoddy. I know that you and him aren't on the Christmas card list, but he has done a really good job as a head coach. Like, I am surprised at how good Brian Schottenheimer has been as a head coach, because we both picked that team to be in dead ass last, right? Looking at that team, right? Oh, Javonte Williams. Like, Javonte Williams has been a stud this year. George Pickens has really established himself as a number two. Now, did he get away with a couple of OPIs? Probably. He probably pushed off once or twice. But you know what? He made the most of it, and the refs are going to call what the refs are going to call. You just play. It's not going to be, you know, you're not going to say, oh, I really pushed off. It's okay, ref. We'll do it again.
No. But I think offensively, they're scoring.
Yeah.
Right?
Ferguson looks like a stud.
They can't be stopped. You have Pickens, Lamb, and a healthy Javonte Williams running the ball. They made some key trades, right? They went and got Kenny Clark, Quinn Williams. They went and got the linebacker from the Bengals,
Wilson.
So they made some moves. They're never out. Let's look at it this way, Z. They beat the last two teams that were in the Super Bowl. They beat the Eagles and they beat the Chiefs. So they have to be considered contenders, right?
Yeah. Now, the Eagles lost again yesterday, so good job on you. You got the Bears. You picked the Bears over the Eagles. That division is now within striking distance. At the beginning of the year, like, that seemed like almost a metaphysical certitude that the Philadelphia Eagles were going to take this division, right? We were talking about who's going to come in second.
Right.
It's a reality.
Sure.
The Eagles are in trouble right now.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on there. They were calling for the firing of their offensive coordinator, Joe Petrullo, I think his name is. But they were, the fans were calling for his... his papers yesterday. I gotta agree to a certain extent, but then looking back at the tape, there were some plays where Jalen Hurts drops back and there are guys open.
Yeah.
And throws the ball into the ground. I don't really know. I know what Jalen Hurts is capable of. I mean, I've seen him play against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and score all the Eagles' points. He scored all of them. Like, he put the team on his back and did everything. He even scored a touchdown for the Chiefs because he fumbled one of the balls. But I mean, sometimes, like, I was traveling yesterday and they're approaching halftime and I'm like, what is happening in this game? Why don't you guys have any points? Saquon Barkley, what the fuck? What the actual fuck?
Dude, it was another game that felt dead in the fucking water. Like, it's 10-3. And it feels like it's 30-3. It feels like I was watching Lupus.
The fans started leaving the game with 6 minutes to go to the game, even though the Eagles were only down two scores. Fans were leaving.
And
it's like, I don't know if their offense. I think the only thing I can think of, sometimes this happens, is that the offense is predictable. Hmm. That's the only thing I can think of is like we know what you're gonna do. We know what you're going to call. We're ready for every single play on your third down packages, your second down packages, because you have limited play calls on those downs.
So
you have five or six plays. Like, for instance, the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a plethora of plays that they call on all of their downage, down and distances, 2nd and 12, 3rd and 9, and their goal line is just unstoppable. When the Chiefs are on the goal line, good luck, you know? But with the Eagles, the only thing I think of is you have 5 or 6 plays that you're calling almost every 3rd and 10, 3rd and 9, 2nd and 12, and teams are hip to it. When they see the alignment, when they see, you know, what you're motioning to, they're ready for you.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm going to say, and this is probably not going to go well, is that I don't think the offense works best when it runs through A.J. Brown. And that's what they've been doing the last 3 or 4 games. The offense works best when it runs through Devonta Smith. I'm sorry. That's just the best.
I am going to push back on that. The offense
you want it to run through Barkley.
Saquon motherfucking Barkley.
Yeah, you could say that, Z, but I think – you know, he had a really long run last year, and the goal might be to preserve him a little bit, which I can get on board with to a certain, certain degree.
So you think you're saying they're playing rope-a-dope, and that, like, in the playoffs they're going to unleash Saquon? Is that the plan?
No, I don't think they're going to. I don't think that's going to be the plan. I just think that dude carried the truck last year, and they won the Super Bowl. If you made him carry the truck this year again, he's going to get hurt, man. We're trying to prolong his career. We want him to stick around a while. We can't put it on his shoulders. He's played every game. He's played every game this year. And he's probably going to play every game. So
as,
we're coming
as a
up.
Giant fan, it's about time. Good for
so
him.
Coming up, the Cowboys have the Lions, the Vikings, the Chargers, the Cowboys, and the Giants. I am not going to believe what I'm going to say, but I'm pretty sure they can win all 5 of those games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they can. The only game that might give them trouble is a pissed off Lions team or a desperate Chargers team.
The Lions feel toothless, man, to be honest with you. Yeah. After seeing their performance on Thanksgiving with the Packers, like the Lions don't feel like the same team. It feels like their heart and soul was taken from them when Ben Johnson went to the Bears.
But here's the deal with the Lions, though. They have Jahmyr Gibbs. They have the X Factor. That guy can score. He's having a Saquon-type year. So he could win them games, especially against a Cowboy defense that isn't the best, right? I mean, we saw the Chiefs go up in that game. And, you know, and the Bears are another story. I don't know how they're doing this with fucking smoke and mirrors. But they're beating teams. We have to consider them a legitimate
contender.
They're
this year's Commanders.
They're
top
in the
North. How did the Commanders do it last year?
Jaden Daniels.
Exactly. How are they doing it this year? Caleb
Williams. I don't know.
Caleb
you
Williams.
You think so? Really?
I do. He's not.
I saw him play a little bit yesterday, and he fucking still misses guys, man. Like, throwing the ball out of bounds, over people's heads. Like,
but
you really think
thing.
It's him, huh?
Here's the thing. I think the offensive line has improved by leaps and bounds. That gives him extra time.
Yeah.
In Eberflus's offense, he was getting creamed. Now he's getting that extra second. He's floating that ball up, and Loveland's making the catches. Komet's making the catches. They're moving the ball. The Eagles look totally overmatched against this offense.
Defense
was spread out because DeAndre Swift showed up. Like, oh my God, we had a DeAndre Swift sighting. Like, they and you know, Mungai. Like, Mungai.
I'm pretty sure he has he's leading rookies in touchdowns.
Dude,
I think, or something like that.
This Bears team is good. It's just like it's this year's Commanders. It's like, but how does that translate moving forward? Like, I don't know. Like, can they get through where the Commanders couldn't last year because Jaden Daniels got hurt? I don't know. But as far as
I don't think they can go into LA and beat the Rams.
No, the Rams are still the team to beat this year.
I don't think they can go into Seattle and beat the Seahawks.
I'm going to push back on that because Sam Darnold is their quarterback. We're seeing Sam turn back into a pumpkin. But the Chiefs, they're predictable. You're absolutely – like, they try to keep everything between the numbers, and I think that's going to be their downfall. The Eagles are – their offense is so conservative, they're playing their games on Fox News. It's absolutely ridiculous how conservative that offense is with the amount of weapons they have. The Cowboys, they play loose. Like, they play like, fuck it, let's just go. And I think – I can't believe I'm saying this as a Giants fan. Like, that might actually win them the division this year. So, to answer your question, which team do you believe in? I feel dirty. I'm going to take a shower after the podcast. But I believe in the Cowboys. from them boys. Like,
yeah,
that's disgusting. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you there. I believe in the Cowboys too, because you know last year the Chiefs were winning all the one score games, and this year they're not winning all the one score games. So that's the thing, and you can never count Kansas City out either. But
no. You
can't count Dallas out with those two receivers. As long as Pickens and Lamb are healthy, they're going to be in every game.
More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. morelabs.com.
All right, so it's been revealed recently that Daniel Jones is playing with a fractured fibula. Brilliant. This comes out as the Texans come to town with the number one defense in the league. So, will Jones survive this game, and will the Colts even make the playoffs? I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs looking at their schedule.
So, let's look at their schedule real quick. You're talking about Texans at Jags, at Seahawks, versus the Niners, versus the Jags, versus the Texans.
They lose all those games.
They're going 0-6.
Wait, did you say Seahawks? You said Seahawks, right?
I said Seahawks. They're going 0-6.
Seahawks, 49. They're going to lose all those games and miss the playoffs.
It's unbelievable.
Especially now that we know this guy's got a fucking fractured fibula, they might break his leg in half tomorrow.
It's like remember the Titans. You blitz every down. They do not gain another yard.
They have, I believe, Daniil Hunter and their other lineman, Will Anderson, are number 3 and 4 in sacks this year.
Daniel Jones is a dead man.
Dead man walking.
But
keep
you know
rolling,
what?
Rolling.
What did I text you? I texted the group chat with you and Danny the other day, and I said, "Smart hero or stupid? Stupid, tough or stupid? Dumb. That is dumb. But you have.
But who is that on? Is that on him or is that on the coach?
It's completely on Steichen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, like you're gonna want. You're an athlete. I was an athlete. Like you always want to help your team. But a fractured fibula, maybe not. But you always want to help the team. Shane Steichen has to look at that quarterback room and say, we got Anthony Richardson, who we know can't play. We have Riley Leonard, who I've never seen play. And we got this guy on one leg.
Leonard.
Let's take Riley. You're going to take first team snaps. Like DJ, go heal up for a couple weeks. You know, that is on Shane Steichen, absolutely.
They might be able to win one of the Jaguar games. They might, but
the Jaguars could cough it up. They absolutely could. If they could pick off Sam Darnold, they could possibly get the Seahawks.
They have to go to Seattle, though.
That's a tough match. That's a tough match.
In December.
Completely a tough match.
No way.
In reality, it feels like 0-6. And it feels
they
like
might be able to beat the 49ers. They might be able to beat the 49ers, but I don't. They're not beating the Texans.
I'll put
my whole radio career on. They're not winning tomorrow or the last game of the year with this division. That's the way. The other thing is that all the teams are in contention for winning the division and making the playoffs. These are all meaningful games. It's not like a laugher. And the same thing for the 49ers. They need that game, you know? Yeah. The Seahawks need these games. Everyone's going to be putting everything they have into this.
That's the thing about this. And, like, you had it. And if they are going to do this, and it's a very tough road ahead, you gotta lean on Jonathan Taylor even more, which means the other teams know that you're leaning on Jonathan Taylor even more. It's like, now this is where Steichen is gonna have to get creative. I know this may not necessarily be his strong suit, even though he is an offensive mind, right? He was the offensive guy, Gannon was the defensive guy coming out of Philly. This is where you earn your money. Okay, my quarterback has a fractured leg. How do I get the other guys involved? Is it a wildcat? Like, Is it something? What do I have in my book of tricks? What do I have in this little gadget system? What can throw defenses off? Because they're just going to pin their ears back and they're going to try and kill this guy. Like, that's the... Or they're going to make him... They're going to flush him out of the pocket and then make him run to further exacerbate the injury. So, it doesn't look good. It absolutely does not look good for what was initially a darling team this year. Like, they were a pleasant surprise, and Daniel Jones, you know, Indiana Jones was looking like an MVP candidate. You know, now all of a sudden that, you know, the teams that we thought were sure things, like, even going back to the last topic with the Eagles, like, teams that were sure things, now all of a sudden it's a little precarious. And teams that we thought were, like, afterthoughts, like, are you, like, the Jaguars, like the Texans after the start they had, like, we wrote them off. Well, mm-hmm. They didn't write back, as Geno Smith said, and then he just gave me an obscene gesture. So
they haven't had a meaningful win in a month.
No.
The last time they beat a team of consequence, they beat the Chargers 38-24.
But are the Chargers
October
a team
19th.
Of consequence?
Compared to the Falcons, compared to the Titans, compared to the Cardinals, compared to the Raiders, yeah, they are. I mean, these are teams that they've beaten.
That
so,
puts them at 28 if we were doing a power ranking.
Something like that.
Sweet.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't really know. I mean, your quarterback room is that bad. I don't know how long it takes to come back from a fractured fibula. I mean, I've seen Omarion Hampton fractured his ankle, and he's been out since October. And
yeah,
he's not playing this weekend. He's going to play next weekend. So was it something that maybe when he fractured it, they should have shelved him, you know, just to get him back? But I don't really know. I just, like I said, I don't see him surviving this weekend, and I don't see the Colts making the playoffs. That's the answer to the two questions that I have. So moving on. Baker Mayfield is trending towards playing against the Cardinals despite having a sprained AC joint in his non-throwing shoulder. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been dreadful the last 6 weeks. They finally come home to play the Cardinals. CJ Stroud is trending towards playing against the Colts this weekend after missing the last three games with a concussion where the team went 3-0. Should either of these guys be playing this weekend?
Well, let's start with the fact that the alternative is Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater looked fucking terrible. What the hell? Like, Teddy Bridgewater did not look prepared to play.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend this year is, you know, backup quarterbacks are not ready to play. These are just facts.
Teddy, you're in. Me?
Me?
Who? So, like, and the fact that, like, they put him in over Kyle Trask. Yes, we've seen nothing from Kyle. Kyle Trask was supposed to be the next Tom Brady. You remember that? Coming out of college, Kyle Trask?
I do. I do.
He wasn't even Kyle Brady. But he's gotten no burn in this league. So, I mean, the UFL's hiring, buddy. You might want to go. But, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater just looked unprepared, and he looked like a dude who should be coaching high school football. Like, he just did not look prepared to play. And say what you will about the Cardinals. Cardinals will be coming after you. The Cardinals they
got no running backs this weekend. Everybody's
no.
hurt. The whole backfield is hurt. Nobody's playing.
No.
And then Marvin Harrison Jr. is not back. He's still getting over his appendix surgery.
Right.
Jacoby Brissett on average is getting sacked between 5 and 8 times a game.
Offensively, it's a mess. It's a mess. But defensively, they keep you in the game. And the second baseman is quarterback. You know,
no, he's on IR. He's out.
Awesome. The second baseman is done.
He's done.
So
he's done in
fantastic.
Arizona, pretty sure. He's done his last game.
That's
there.
A mess. You know, we thought it was Cliff Kingsbury. Clearly, it's not Cliff Kingsbury. You change the court, change the coach, change the culture.
I mean, listen, Brissett looks good for what he's got around him. He just he holds the ball too long. I mean, there's a reason why he's a backup. There's a reason why he's a backup. But at least he's ready to play.
True. Now, you look at the Texans, right? They're trending in the right direction without C.J. Stroud.
Right.
Davis Mills is in command.
Now, right.
How long can you expect this from Davis Mills?
But they also look better offensively with Mills.
They absolutely do, because Mills is confident in what he's doing. C.J.
Right.
Stroud always looks like, always has that deer in the headlights look. And yes, the ice water in your veins and all that stuff, but at some point, it just, it doesn't work out. And they're doing this without Mixon, right? They're doing this without Dell. Like, they're missing some key players, too. They caught Dameon Pierce, which, you know, he was a starter in this league for years.
Wow, I didn't even realize he did that.
Oh, they caught him, like, 2 weeks ago. And they're running with Chubb. Like, they got a Chubby, and they're gonna go for it for however long that takes them. But in terms of who should play, I think Baker's got to play. Because, number one, you have to hold off the Panthers, right? And I can't believe, like, in the year of our Lord, 2025, I said that sentence honestly. Like, it wasn't an ironic sentence. You have to hold off the Carolina Panthers right now. And Bryce Young. So neither team really has a quarterback. But you can't trust the other guys behind you.
Yeah.
And Bucky Irving has been up and down. You got, you know, you've had your own share
of injuries. he's just been down. He hasn't played all season. He's actually playing this weekend, and they're going to go with a three backfield committee, which, you know, against the Cardinals, it should be fine.
But not with any sort of serious.
So I'm going to push back. I'm going to push back on it a little bit. I actually think they should let Baker rest. I don't think they need Baker Mayfield to beat the Cardinals. I think the defense is going to swallow Arizona whole, and really you're just going to need two or three touchdowns to beat this team. And you're getting Bucky Irving back, supposed to be at full health. You have Ibuka. I'd let Baker rest. Teddy. Or you could just focus on the running game. Just give it to Tucker, give it to White, and give it to Irving. Just let them run. Let them run the Cardinals out of this game. It's a home game. You haven't been home in like a month, and you're gonna swallow the Cardinals whole. You have something to play for. They don't understand where you are in the season and understand the importance of this game. Baker was getting killed against the Rams. Like, let the guy rest his shoulder. It clearly affects his throwing, clearly affects his ability to run, clearly affects his ability to play. On the other side, I disagree with you around Stroud too. Let Mills play. Just let him play.
Oh no, I said Stroud.
Oh, you want Stroud? Okay.
Mills is the guy.
So I agree with you there. I'm sticking with Mills as long as we're winning. I'm not fucking this mojo up because he's also getting everybody involved. Nico Collins is getting the ball. You know, we're not turning the ball over. He's not taking too many sacks. He's got a good rapport with the team. I'm not saying Stroud's career is over, and then you don't lose your job to injury, but we're humming right now.
To Drew Bledsoe. Tell that to Drew Bledsoe.
That was a decision that they made because, if I remember correctly, Tom hurt his ankle in Pittsburgh, and Drew had to come in and finish that game. They had a chance to stick with Drew, and they decided not to. If Drew would have played, they still would have won. It wouldn't have mattered. That year didn't matter. It was either one of those guys could have won it that year. But no, I don't think Stroud should go back. I think, you know, he's had a terrible 2 years when you think about it. And you know, it's time to autocorrect. And the Texans slate the rest of the way. They can win these games. They have a defense that is hungry. They're after you. They're fast. And D'Amico Ryans is what Robert Saleh should be, right? He's got the head coaching thing under control. He's not a cheerleader on the sideline. He understands how to coach these guys. I mean, come on. He's coaching the Texans, man. And he's in contention for a title here. Like, you know, so I think it's pretty clear cut what he should do here. But we'll see what happens.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan Brake Pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
Switching over to Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, the defensive end on the Cleveland Browns, currently has 18 sacks. Is on pace to break Michael Strahan's record of 22 and a half sacks in a season. The Browns are 3-8, and they're not going to make the playoffs. They're starting Shedeur Sanders this weekend, as they did last weekend when they beat the Raiders. So does this regular season accomplishment matter, considering the Browns are not in contention? Seems like the guys who hold this record, their teams are never in contention. If I remember correctly, Michael Strahan broke it in a season where the Giants didn't win the Super Bowl or go to the playoffs. And before that, Gastineau was on a terrible Jet team, if I got my record correct.
Yeah, so 4 years, $160 million, $21.5 mil signing bonus. That's what Myles Garrett signed up for. This is what he signed up for. Remember, he was Micah Parsons before Micah Parsons was Micah Parsons. Get me the fuck out of here. You guys aren't serious about winning. And then they paid him. And now, this is what you live with. This is absolutely what you live with as Myles Garrett. You got your money, now this is what you have to deal with. Unless you pitch another fit and you get moved. Yeah, this is a meaningless deal. This is absolutely a meaningless deal for everybody besides Myles Garrett. It doesn't make the Browns better, clearly. Right? Mm-hmm. Great. You have
He's having like an MVP-type season, you would say, but his team is not in contention, so it doesn't really matter, right?
So, but if this was baseball, he'd have a shot, right? A-Rod won MVP on a last-place team. Like,
right.
That has
happened,
right? If you're so prolific and you can't be denied, if you're on a dog shit team, you can still get a contention, right? I don't think we're in a position like that in the NFL, right? I would give it to Jonathan Taylor before I give it to Myles Garrett.
Okay.
But Jonathan Taylor's at least contributing to wins. Myles Garrett, what are you doing? Like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing? You're keeping it close. Thanks. You're keeping it close. Yay, bully for you.
Bully.
This is what you signed up for when you took that contract and you backed off of your stance that you wanted to leave. And at the end of the day, no one's going to give a shit because in a couple of years, Micah Parsons is going to break that record. Somebody we don't know about, somebody who's coming out of college is going to break that record. Like, who's to say? Like, it's a record that, I mean, the sack stat is only about 40 years old. So let's think about that. Like, they're in reality, the sack is like the closer. It's relatively a modern invention. So if we went back in time, a guy like Jack Tatum, a guy like Deacon Jones, they probably have a lot more sacks than we've given them credit for, because the stack didn't exist. So at the end of the day, you were in last place. They'd be in last place without you. Congrats on all the sacks, man. Like, I'm sure you have incentives in your contract that get you some more money based on that, but at the end of the day, you are what your record says you are, a really good player on a dog shit team.
Yeah, I mean, I've made it known that I don't appreciate the fact that Strahan has the title right now, because I don't think he's the all-time sack leader. I still think Mark Gastineau is the leader. You know, Favre laid down on a play and kind of gave that away, which was not right, and Brett Favre is a shit human, so, you know, it is what it is. I guess good for him individually. I mean, he's doing everything that he can, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not making a difference. It's not changing the outcome of these games. It's not even helping. They're a 3-8 team. They're not any closer to 500 with him than they are without him, right?
No,
so I think it's argued, you know, I don't think he's the most valuable player on a team, because despite what he's doing, he's almost getting the sack record here. They're still terrible. You can argue that with Jonathan Taylor, the season he's having, and is helping Daniel Jones play better, is helping the offensive line play better, is helping the defense play better. The Colts are top of mind, top of conversation. So yeah, I don't think this matters. I'm not really into this sack record. It's pretty incredible what he's been able to do, because I think he has more sacks than the four guys, like the two guys that are under them combined, I don't think have as many sacks as he does, which is crazy, you know. Let's talk about Shedeur Sanders for a second though. Like, I mean, they beat the Raiders. which for some reason led to Chip Kelly's firing, but whatever. I mean, I don't understand how the defensive coordinators get fired if you can't stop Shedeur Sanders, who...
Well, the Raiders have been a massive disappointment. Absolutely. We thought that bringing in, you know, Geno with Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly is going to invigorate that offense. Like, it looks like the same old Raiders. It doesn't matter who the fuck is coaching that team.
I think it has to do with talent, right? I don't, Genty just doesn't seem like he's, having a good season. And I don't know if that's because of the Raiders offensive line. I don't appreciate his stance before every play. He doesn't really get set. He doesn't get ready to explode through a hole. He stands up like he's Michael Myers in the backfield. Wide receiver wise, who is he throwing to? Tyler Lockett, who couldn't get really onto a team this year. The guy, Jacoby Myers, wanted to be traded. So that was useless. And then he did get traded. He got to the Jags. So who's he? And then Bowers, everybody's keying on Bowers. It's like, you know, we know this is your guy. You're just going to take him away. And what are you guys going to do? Right. Nope. Right. I do think Chip Kelly is a brilliant offensive mind when he's given the tools, right? He's given a Marcus Mariota. He's given guys that are agile and quick, and Jeremy Maclin and Deshaun Jackson and Michael Vick. Yeah, he could run a pretty damn good offense, but you're giving him, you know, a pocket passer, possession receivers. It's not going to happen. As far as Shedeur is concerned, I'm glad they won. I mean, good for you guys, but I don't think he's going to have as much success this weekend because, again, now there's a tape on you, you know,
yeah. And
teams are going to be ready for what garbage you throw at them. Because, buckle up, my friend, because the 49ers are coming to town. So that could be a little painful. He's got the Titans, then he goes to the Bears, Death, Bills, might have some success there, Steelers, Death, Bengals, So, you know, he could get his trade value up, but this is what he wanted, right? He wanted to play in Cleveland. There was an opportunity for him to go to Baltimore, and he shat on that, and he wants to be a Cleveland Brown. So,
yeah.
Kid, go out there and be a Cleveland Brown.
I think he wanted to be anywhere that would pay him top five money. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, like...
Why? You think money matters to him? Money matters?
I think he would have gone anywhere. I to go from top five to top 150, like, that's a huge difference. And you know what? The money doesn't hurt, man. And Shaq famously once said to his kid, right? It's like, we're rich. No, I'm rich.
I don't know if Theon sees it that way.
I don't necessarily.
I don't think LeBron sees it that way either. I know there's a lot of players and actors and actresses that say that and they mean it. I don't know if Theon.
At some point, you have to make it on your own, right? Like, we've had to make it on our own as an adult. You do eventually have to make it on your own. And he's been trading on his dad's name the entirety of his adult life, right? Now is this time for him to become his own man.
Mm-hmm.
And he handled that question very well. He actually handled that question very well when they tried to bait him into a situation where he was going to talk about Dylan Gabriel. They baited him into, or Stefanski possibly sandbagging him. Handle it like a pro. Like, this is exactly what you need to do as a pro to show that maturation process. Now, that, like, when you juxtapose that with how he was acting during the draft, that's, you know, like, night and day. Like, there's definitely been some maturation outside of the prime camp. And now, I think the play needs to match with that. And we'll see. Like, this is going to be some growing pains because, like, nobody's coming to save him. Right?
Yeah, and why not? Let him play. Well, it doesn't matter, right?
Stefanski's coaching for his job.
Well, is he really? I think that ship has sailed, right? He's gone, right? I would assume.
I don't think he's not coming back. But
they don't have a quarterback. They don't have a – Dylan Gabriel is not the answer, man.
They had a quarterback, and they let him walk out the building. They cut him. They had Baker
Sean
Mayfield.
Watson comes back next
they
year.
They had Baker friggin' Mayfield
right.
with a lead against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
With the possibility of getting the Browns into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they pissed it away. This
yeah.
organization has pissed it away. And Stefanski has been given Watson. He's been given Sanders. He's been given Gabriel. He's been given Flacco. He's been given like all these other guys. But they had the guy. They had the guy in the building. And they cut. And they fucking cut. And for
yeah.
that, it's inexcusable. And I don't know if that was a Stefanski decision or if that was a Haslam decision. But bottom line is that the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns are the
right.
shit. Always. They're always going to make
right.
the wrong decision. So, you know, we'll see what Sanders is going to be. I mean, we'll see what Myles Garrett, if he sets this record, that'll be a good prime accolade for him. They'll demand more for him on the trade market. Because...
Oh, so you think he's trade bait?
He's got to be. Like, anything not nailed down has to be. Like, he's not going to... Like, that team's going nowhere. It's
How about this on Watson? How about Watson? Is he trade bait?
Nobody's taking that contract. Nobody. Nobody. There was a running joke that they traded to the Saints, and the Saints just worked out Justin Tucker, and Watson and Tucker could have some conversations about certain illicit off-the-field activities.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that Tucker has been able to get a job.
No. He's finally active to get a job. He's finally able to start trying out for teams, and he worked out for the Saints of all teams. Like, yeah, we're going for the number one pick. Let's bring in Justin Tucker. So that's kind of where football is at the moment.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
We're in the middle of football season, but let's talk about baseball. We have some hot stove movement, right? Black Friday was here. Like, I hope you got your deals on your TVs and stuff. You didn't get locked up. But a player who did get locked up was Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease, 7 years, $210 million. And a player that's negotiating the terms of his release or his buyout is one Mr. Tony Wagethef. Anthony Rendon and the Angels are working towards the possibility of him being bought out of his final contract so he can retire. If by retire, you mean go to the Dodgers and win the MVP. And then last but not least, you have the Mets eyeing Framber Valdez in free agency. So which move is most appealing to you at this point in the hot stove season?
Oh, man. Yeah, so out of these moves, I think Dylan Cease is huge. I'm surprised the Yankees didn't get on this like 2 years ago or last year. But you gotta like what the Jays are doing as far as building a rotation. I still can't get over how they had Shane Bieber on their freaking team, and he's opted in. He's staying. He's staying in Toronto. So now you have these young live arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a division where there are teams like the Yankees who have heavy bats, and the Orioles, even though they had a down year, they've got some guys who can hit the ball. You're talking about a team that could possibly have a sub-14 ERA. Their bullpen is legit. They went toe-to-toe with the Dodgers. That bullpen has been battle-tested, and they know what they can and they know what they can't do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, gotta like it. I mean, the thing I'm curious to see is I'm hearing that the Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays, are in on Schwarber and Tucker. can they get one of those guys? And I think, this is just my opinion, Schwarber is the one that I'd want. And I think if they can get one of those two guys, they're going to be in good shape.
I would say if you're going to go choose between those two guys, I would go for Tucker, just from the standpoint that he plays the field and you can take George Springer and make him your everyday DH.
He does, but I'm ready to kick the tires on Springer. I'm ready to let my World Series MVP kind of ride into the sunset. And Tucker, I don't think he's a fraud. I think he's a damn good player. I don't know if he's worth all the money he's looking for.
Right.
Right? And there's a reason why the Astros let him go, right? There's a reason why the Cubs aren't throwing a lot of money at him, right? These are teams that have seen him play. He's been in the clubhouse with them, seen him on the field. They know what he is, right? So I'm gonna understand the temperature of the room. So it's like I seen what Schwarber's done. I see the damage this man unleashes on the ball. I've seen him at the top of the order. I've seen him hit four bombs in the game. Like, I've seen the city embrace him, right? Yeah. The Cubs really embrace Tucker. Did the city of Houston really embrace Tucker? No, right? So I agree with you. He's a fielder, and that's wonderful. But don't I have Santown there? Don't I have somebody else to play right field?
He was an absolute waste of money. And if I were the Blue Jays, I would probably try and move on from him as a buy low kind of guy. Trade him to the Mets for McNeil, like something. Like you would, you know. You're gonna.
It sounds like Nimmo is gone.
Nimmo is gone. Like, we'll talk about that in a second. We gotta add him to the fucking list here. But you're looking at. You bring in Dylan Cease, right? 7 years, $210 million, with some deferral. So it takes it down from 30. It takes it down from $30 million AAV to about $26 million AAV. So you do have some more money to spend, which is where the Tucker and Schwarber conversation is. But you have. You Savage. You have Gausman. You have Bieber. You now have Cease. You have Barrios, who's coming back. Like, holy shit.
Holy testicle Tuesday.
Jesus Christ. Now, if they could get somebody for that bullpen. Yes, the bullpen is good. But if you just don't have Jeff Hoffman. Like, if you have somebody else.
Edwin Diaz.
As much as I hate to say it, I think Alonso's gone. I think Diaz is gone. I think McNeil is gone. Like, I think that team is being dismantled. So Edwin Diaz can probably be had. My concern with Cease, my concern with Diaz in Toronto is that ball flies. And Cease in particular gave up 21 homers last year. Like, he's constantly in the top of the league in terms of home runs allowed. Yes, making sure their solo homers are important, but still, that ball's going to fly in Toronto. I could see it could be 30, 35 home runs the way with his stuff. And he always has that up and down year. He's this generation's A.J. Burnett. A.J. Burnett,
really?
He is up, down, up, down, up, down. Two solid seasons, three mediocre, and then a really good one. But that's kind of who Dylan Cease is. Now, how much of that because he was on the dog shit White Sox? Don't know. We're going to find out now because he's actually, like Crochet, he's on a good team. And we're going to actually see what these guys can do. For comedy purposes, Anthony Rendon played fewer games than Ted Williams did during the span of World War II. Like, because, you know, Ted Williams, you know, was fighting.
So you're saying I'm a bitch.
I'm saying that you had a problem with injuries, Anthony. And Ted Williams went, fought a war, came back, and still played more games than you in this same stretch of time. So that's pretty embarrassing. The one highlight of his Angels career was him hitting a home run from both sides of the plate in a blowout. So you showing up the other team by batting left-handed.
You think they're going to have like a thank you Anthony Rendon ceremony when he retires? Will there be an Anthony Rendon Day in Anaheim or Los Angeles? Everybody gets a wheelchair on the way home.
Everybody gets a nice thick wallet with Anthony Rendon's face on it. Yeah, like, there's really... That's the best case scenario that could happen for the Angels, because they need to get rid of this guy. He was the highest paid third baseman in Major League Baseball last year. And he was set to be the highest paid third baseman in Major League Baseball this year. Dude's gotta go. Dude's gotta go. You gotta move on. You gotta move on from him. You gotta move on from Trout. You gotta exercise some demons here. You gotta sage the room. And I think getting rid of that onerous contract certainly helps. Framber Valdez, he's fine. Doesn't really do anything for me as a Met fan. It's okay, right? The rotation was a problem. Only Valdez is not the answer, right? You know, the kid, they're like, oh, roll with the kids. Roll with Sproat. Not ready. Roll with Tong. Not ready. Roll with McClain. Okay. So your number one next year is going to be Clay Holmes. Again, Clay Holmes. You got rid of Montas.
Go.
You released Frankie Montas, so good job. He wasn't going to pitch anyway, so good job. You need to attack this a little bit more aggressively. Yes, I heard the Freddy Peralta rumors, but you know what? There's a reason why Corbin Burnes didn't come to the Mets either. They didn't like how David Stearns was doing things in Milwaukee. And, oh, and lo and behold, Freddy Peralta was there when David Stearns was there. So I'm sure he's going to want a little incentive to be here too. And then you're going to give up assets. You're going to have to. Sorry, you can't prospect hug. You want to get somebody like Freddy Peralta, it's going to cost you a Jet Williams. It's going to cost you a Brandon Sproat. It's going to cost you a Ryan Clifford. And you have to be okay with that. If you want something, you have to give it up. You have to give to get. That's just how trades work. Now, you could throw money at the problem, but it didn't work. Right? See Justin Verlander. See Max Scherzer. You tried to throw money at the problem, and it got you nothing. So there's that. Valdez would be fine. I need more. And what are the Mets really doing? Because you bring in Marcus Semien, you trade away Brandon Nimmo. Yeah, it's $25 million, right? It's a difference of $25 million. Brandon Nimmo has $100 million left on his contract. Semien has $75 million.
And that's wild, by the way.
Yeah,
that's fucking wild.
Simeon's also 3 years older. That's also a problem, right? Nimmo's in his 32, this age 33 year. Semien's going into his age 36 year. So that's a major problem. I get he plays defense. You got to hit too. Offense was a major problem on this team. So you bring in a guy
who's... what's Semien, a 250 hitter?
Yeah, he's nothing special. He's okay. Often you bring him in for the defense. I understand what you're trying to do. Run prevention is important. But so is scoring.
He had a down last year.
He had a down, and he was
Holy
coming off a broken
shit.
Foot. And he had a broken foot.
230 with 15 home runs and 62 RBI. Ooh.
Stud. Complete stud.
And yeah, he's a career 250 hitter. So he's 20 points down on the back end of his fucking career.
And I
guarantee what are we thinking here? He's 35 years old.
Uh-huh. Dude. Yeah. And on top of that...
Oh, my.
You're not getting Brandon Nimmo's on base percentage either. Because Brandon Nimmo takes his walks. That's the beauty part about Brandon Nimmo. He takes his walks.
Oh, my.
I don't know what's going on here. I absolutely do not know what's going on. I expect...
Same-same-ster. It's Billy. Oh.
Same-same-ster. What do you want? Why do I feel like I'm getting my pocket pick?
Oh, my.
When you get the answer you're looking for, hang up. So that is exactly what happened here with Chris Young and David Stearns. But most
what do you want for Semien? You mean Marcus Semien? Yeah.
No, Trevor Semien. I heard he gets to sling it. I want my players not to pay for soda the rest of the year.
Who made the phone call?
That's a good... I'm thinking it was Stearns. I think Stearns made that phone call. Now, the rumor is that Chris Young did, but...
You couldn't get better than Marcus Semien, man.
Dude, like, he was not the buy low candidate.
Are they going to go for are they going to go for this kid from Toronto?
I think they're going for Tucker. I think they're dipping into the Tucker sweepstakes, and I'm not so sold.
No, who's the kid in Toronto that's on the market?
Oh, which one? There's a They're not going to trade Varsho. They're not going to
not trade. It's a free agent. Infielder. Shortstop. What's their shortstop?
Oh, Bo Bichette. No.
Yeah, are they going to go for Bo?
No. Because you already have Lindor at short. You have Semien at second. I mean, I don't know what Texas is. Texas was linked to the Yankees possibly dealing Corey Seager, too. Like, I think the Rangers are strapped for cash. So I think that's why they're making these trades. Like, you took on a guy who's $25 million more expensive. I'm confused. Right? You still have DeGrom, who's making a shit ton of money. Now you brought in Nimmo. You're bringing in Mets, who are making a shit ton of money. I don't know what Texas is doing. And with the Mets, like, David Stearns is going to make a Milwaukee East. That's the goal. To make it, you know, a good enough regular season team, and then they're going to suck in the playoffs. Because they're not going to be strong enough to bang with the legit contenders. 2 years ago, they got through the Phillies. They didn't have the pitching to get through the Dodgers. Last year, they didn't have the pitching again. For the vaunted pitching lab, they didn't have the pitching to get the job done. Now, the whole thing is getting torn down. So, expect a down year from the Mets. But, most appealing, by far, Anthony Rendon. Thank you. Thanks for the memories, Tony.
Thanks for the memories.
thanks for the memories. We'll see you in Cooperstown. Maybe. You'll buy a ticket.
Is there a jail there?
So you're saying I'm a
bitch. I'm going to kill you.
I'm not saying you're a bitch.
I just got here. My hip kind of hurts. They were going to see a doctor.
You had the whole offseason.
It's day one of the first week.
What are you doing? Oh, my God.
What do you mean he's out for the rest of the year? The year didn't even start yet.
Master class. Well done, sir. I wonder if they can... Well done, we got to talk to John Barrera. We got to see if the Angels could possibly sue him. I want my money back.
I'm
going to
kill you.
I want my money back.
That's some crazy stuff,
son,
man.
Of a bitch. Let's definitely look into that. John Barrera, if you're listening... Let us know if you're available. We'll talk contract law about Tony Rendon.
Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D&Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, and ready to spend. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Let's talk about how we can increase your foot traffic or get people to visit your website. Email us today and or message us on our socials so we can find the best packages for you. You can hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at faderoutepodcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
More or less?
All right, boys and girls, we have some statements that they're more likely or less likely that they're going to happen. More or less, number one, the Baltimore Ravens will win the AFC North.
Less likely. I mean, they're just, like I said, I've been saying this for 3 weeks now. They're giving shit away. It's like, hey, this is how bad we are. Want to see how bad we are? This is how bad we are. We can't beat the fucking Bengals. In Baltimore on Thanksgiving. That's how Joe Burrow hasn't played football in fucking 3 months. And we can't stop a nosebleed, guys. We can't do shit.
We are
terrible. We are so bad. So bad.
Oh my God, man. Having a fire sale.
We're so bad that we can't beat the Bengals at home. So, no, I think it's less likely. Give it to Mason Rudolph and the Steelers over us.
My God. My God.
I really don't see how. Just to touch on Steelers for a second, I think Rodgers is going to give it a go this weekend. I don't see that working out really well because, listen, I've fractured my foot before, and the pain, I can't, I mean, if somebody was to even touch my foot or squeeze my foot, the pain is just a level 10, and that's just for a fracture, yeah. And that's what he's fractured his wrist. Mm-hmm. If somebody was to tackle him and he'd hit the ground, my God, there'd be tears coming out of your eyes, unless they shoot him up.
Toradol. Complete freaking Toradol.
Right, you gotta shoot it up. Heavy. Go heavy, man.
Give me the shot.
Give me another shot. That doesn't really make medical sense. All right, do it anyway.
It does to me. It's like,
yeah.
Exactly. Unless he's playing on ayahuasca. Like, then he's seeing six receivers.
I don't know.
It's fantastic.
And you can't put a cast on it because then you can't get the snap. Yeah. And even so, the only thing is, it's good it's his left hand because that's on the bottom.
Right.
So it doesn't take the impact. But it's still, if somebody hits it, fuck.
It's going to be a pain tolerance situation. You know, you have worse, right. And fortunately for them, like, you could have worse backups than Mason Rudolph. I mean, there are, he's one for them actually in this league.
Oh, he's a shit though. He's terrible though.
No, he's not a good back. He's not a good quarterback, but in that system, it seems to work. Like,
Just a little side note here. Both tackles for the Bills are out this weekend in Pittsburgh.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm also going less likely that they'll win the division. Now, you have Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, Ravens play the Packers, and then they play the Steelers again. How many wins do you see? I see, well, especially since they just lost to the Bengals, there's a possibility they go 0-5. There's 0-5 there. The Patriots are
there's
better.
A reality where yeah. that
there's an absolute.
There's a multiverse where they don't win any of those games.
No, absolutely. You figure 2-0 for the Steelers. You would think they would pay the Bengals back, but if they could somehow deal with the turnovers, because that was a major issue on Thanksgiving night, but. You know, they made the Bengals defense look like the 85 fucking Bears, and only the Giants measure up with the Bengals in terms of mediocrity. And then you have the Patriots and the Packers. So, like,
the 10-2 Patriots, by the way.
I don't see it, man. I don't see it. I want to believe, but it's just not there. Right? It's just. The defense has been a shambles this year. The turnovers now are a problem. Lamar's been in. Lamar's been out. No, it's not. It's not where the Ravens.
He's not 100%. He's not 100%. He's not 100%, and it shows.
They made the wrong decision riding the Cooper Rush when Tyler Huntley was available.
Yep. Because then they finally did play Huntley, and he won.
Right.
I think Lamar was out a month, right?
Yeah, so. Had an opportunity to tread water, and this was, you chalk this one up, and the kill shot may have been on Thanksgiving night. More or less, number two, Anthony Davis helps the Mavericks turn around their season.
He has to, right? I mean, that's what they traded for him for. Yeah, I'd say more likely. I mean, they're going to be better with him than they are without him. You assume they get Kyrie back at some point, and the Mavericks seem adamant that they're not going to trade him, even though there's rumors that they've called the Knicks and they've called the Heat and some other teams.
Who is this?
Jerry! Yeah, so I would say more likely that he helps them. I think he's playing against the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken, his next game.
They can't do much worse. They're 10 games under 500 right now. They're 5-15. So... even if you do trade him, it's more likely that they'll turn around their season because they'll get pieces that'll actually play. So there's that. But he is a rim protector, right? He can shoot. Like, he's a prototypical modern big man. His bugaboo has always been injuries. Street clothes is a real thing. Street clothes is absolutely a real thing. And it's been his problem since fucking Kentucky. Since college, dude. He's had some problems staying healthy. But on paper, right? Him plus Clay plus Flag plus Kyrie. That's good. That's good. But we don't play the games on paper. We play the games on the hardwood. And on the hardwood, they're 10 games below 500, and he barely plays. So, one way or the other, if he plays or not, more likely all the way. Either he improves your team, or he improves another team while giving you assets. So, absolutely more likely that Streaky Clothes will somehow benefit the Dallas Mavericks this year. More or less, number three, the Red Sox will benefit from the services of Sonny Gray.
All right, I mean, listen, he doesn't do very
Yankee
well.
Yankee fans, listen up.
He doesn't do very well in the big markets, okay? When the lights are on brightest, he tends to shy away. Oh, no, I think it's less likely. As much as I like him, I'm looking at probably a 4.5, 5.05 ERA, somewhere along there, especially in that small ballpark, big market. It's just, you know, don't be fooled. Sonny Gray of the Reds, Sonny Gray of Oakland. Those are the Sonny Grays that are really good. The Sonny Grays of the big markets, not so well.
The sunny days of Sonny Gray are long behind us.
Although, didn't he play for like St. Louis last year?
Yeah, he was 14.
And he did okay, right? Yeah, he did. Yeah,
on
he
a
did
dog
okay
shit
there.
Cardinal team, and his ERA was 4.25.
Yes, okay, right. So it will be, like I said, 450, 505, somewhere along there.
Yeah.
Cool. He gets people to swing and miss, though. But
he does, but
he's sneaky old.
He's 36. He's 36 years old. Now, he doesn't do the smaller ballparks, and the bigger markets are going to eat him alive, right? Like, he thrived in Cincinnati. Really small ballpark. Great American
and
ballpark.
Oakland, too.
Oakland, big ballpark. Right, that's a pitcher-friendly ballpark for sure. Now, smaller market definitely plays, right? Cincinnati, it's different than the Bronx, right? They're very, like, these are our guys.
2 years with the Twins.
That's
big ballpark.
That is where, like, you're looking at it. It's 8-5, 8-8, kind of treading water. Like,
but 2.9 ERA. 2.9.
Huge ballpark. Huge ballpark. And a good team behind it. But I think you're expecting, if you're the Red Sox, you got to be like expecting 10-8, 11-9, like something like that, like good enough. Like he's not coming in to be your ace. That's Garrett Crochet. Like you want him to fall in line. Like,
wow, based on his numbers, his similar pitchers are Darvish, Lincecum, Cid Fernandez, Jake Arrieta, Alex Fernandez. I remember that motherfucker.
Wow.
Mike Scott, Corey Kluber. Those are similar numbers.
That's very interesting because Kluber was an ace for years. Mike Scott was an ace for years.
Similar numbers through 34 years old. Lance Lynn.
Oh, God.
Ted Lilly.
Oh, God.
Hideo Nomo.
Okay, Nomo.
Like, Scott Kazmir.
Oh, poor Scott. That's a shame. All right, so that's okay. Sonny Gray is clearly in the good enough to get you beat category.
Yep, that sounds about right.
And you put him in Fenway Park for half of his starts. That ERA is going to be in the fives, man. that porch is close by, and it's going to be very intimate. It's going to be a very intimate experience. And when things go south, and Red Sox fans are on par with Yankee fans in terms of passion, right? Cardinal fans, you're my guy, we love you. Reds, you're my guy, we love you. Twins fans, you're my guy, we love you. Red Sox, fuck you! Yankee fans, fuck you! That kind of negative energy clearly affects one Mr. Sonny Gray. So, he may have a winning record, but that ERA is going to be a shambles. And it wouldn't surprise me if Mr. Gray was once again having a love-hate relationship with fans.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this year's show and takes on the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took on the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
Dope.
That would be Jamar Chase. Pulling that Jalen Carter. Can we stop with the spitting in the NFL? Can we please? It's unsanitary.
There's a lot of spitting, right?
It's disgusting. It's absolutely unsanitary. It's disgusting. Can we please? And then I'm seeing Jake Ferguson with his hand at the business end of a turkey, just like, everybody, you get a bite, and you get a bite, and you get a bite. We learned nothing from COVID. We learned absolutely nothing from COVID. It's like,
right.
Jesus Christ. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week?
All right, so first up, I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills in their game against the Texans. Texans 23, Bills 19. The Bills gave up 8 sacks.
Jesus.
Josh Allen threw 2 interceptions. Thanks for showing up to that game. That's just brutal, man. That's brutal. And this is supposed to be your year. It's supposed to be your year.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of game you come out with? Oh, brutal. Absolutely brutal. Buffalo Bills, you are my alleged superstar of the week. For my second one, I can go a lot of different ways. I'm gonna go Lamar Jackson, quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens. Cincinnati coming to town, Thanksgiving. Joe Burrow hasn't played in a month or two, probably 3 months actually. You lose 32-14, and in that game, Lamar, you are the leader. You are the captain of the Baltimore Ravens. You go 17 for 32 for 246 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception, 3 sacks. And I'm pretty sure you lost a fumble too.
Just two fumbles.
There you go. Thanks for playing. Lamar Jackson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number 3, the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, you've got a prime time Black Friday game. You got the shit Bears coming to town. But, you know, the Bears are in first, but you are the defending Super Bowl champions.
Damn.
This is supposed to be a cakewalk. You scored 3 points in the first half of this game. You can't, I mean, good Lord. Good Lord. Saquon Barkley, 13 carries for 56 yards. Oh, but A.J. Brown got his. He got 10 receptions for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. Good thing we started feeding him since he was so unhappy. We lose 24-15 to the Bears. This is Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Kyle Manungai goes for a 130 and a tutty. Damn. Philadelphia Eagles, you are my legend superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
My guy, Manungai. All right. Well done. I'm going to start with Everton's Idrissa Gueye. Yes, there was a defensive mishap. The pass could not have been any worse. It was right into the middle of the field, right on the guy's foot. So, he and teammate Michael Keane come together.
Right on the guy's foot.
Right there. It's right there. Teammate Michael Keane comes over. And they're having a little discussion. Like, okay, as players do. Gueye, he turns around, smacks the dude in the face. He smacks his own teammate in the face. On the pitch. Gets a red card. So, fortunately, Everton was somehow able to hang on to win. So it was a 1-0 final. They're playing down because his own teammate slapped him in the face. Like, what is that? I've never been mad enough at a teammate to go and smack a dude in the face during a game. I've never been in that level of a zone. I've never been in that heat of a moment. I remember when Papelbon and Bryce Harper went at each other, and Papelbon was like choking Harper in the dugout. Like, that's fun. Absolutely fun. But never on the pitch. Never on the pitch. So Idrissa Gueye, that's a new level right there. You are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Ravens in general. You talked about Jackson and his two lost fumbles. You also had one from Flowers. You had one from Likely. That's 14 fumbles. And this team should have easily handled the Bengals. Easily. No, we're good. We're good. We're just going to give them a little Thanksgiving present. Baltimore Ravens, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, the NBA. As you guys know, the NBA Cup is still going on, and apparently the court at
I heard about this.
Was unplayable. Unplayable. It was so slippery. And this is not from the other team, this is from Luka. Luka, who complains, he's a chronic complainer. We understand that Luka likes to bitch a lot. But when the home team is complaining about the quality of the court, that's a problem. And it's not the everyday court. Why is it not the everyday court? Because somebody had the brilliant idea of making special courts for the NBA Cup. Dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. Why? Nobody gives a shit. Nobody. You get nothing for it, right? You don't get the number one pick. You don't get an automatic playoff spot. What do you get for this? You get a banner. And you get to split some prize money. Yeah, so when Luka hurts himself because your court is subpar, hope it was worth it. NBA, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.